I plead with you that the words of my mouth and the meditations of the hearts of these your people would be acceptable to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our sermon this morning is the cornerstone, Christ, our cornerstone. The text is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, and this is what they say. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows in a holy temple to the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson spot. He washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. In order to appreciate what Paul is teaching in our text this morning, we really need to go back and come to grips with the first part of this chapter. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "You who were dead in sins and trespasses, hath he made alive together with Christ Jesus." Now, we were once dead in sins and trespasses, but God, by his grace, by his efficacious grace and calling, has made us alive together with Christ Jesus. Paul says it again in Ephesians 2:5, "You who were dead in trespasses." Now, I've shared with you from this pulpit before that we come into the world in a dead condition spiritually. We come into the world that way. And all of you have probably been to a funeral, and you know that a person in a casket can't do anything. Well, spiritually, we're all in a casket when we come into the world. We're dead. Now, Paul goes on to argue in this beautiful epistle to the Ephesians that you folks are filthy rich and you're acting like you're poor. You're not poor because what Christ has done for you, he's called you out of darkness into his light. He has made you alive and made you joint heirs with him. An heir is one who inherits everything. So you folks need to wake up and enjoy your riches in Christ. Now, we read in our scripture lesson, beginning at verse 11, and I want to read these verses for you with just a comment or two. He says, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called circumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Now, what Paul is saying here is something that we can witness every day. People in the world do not have any lasting hope. all the hope they have is in what they can get right now. And it only lasts for a little while. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been made near by the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ that made you who were spiritually dead alive to God. Hallelujah. Now, he goes on to argue our peace. He himself has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And this is why in the Christian community there should be no distinctions on ethnicity or racial makeup. None of that. Because God has broken down the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, which was a higher, thicker wall than exists between those who are in the faith of Christ Jesus who happen to be a different color or a different ethnic background. And in verse 15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now, this word means that we are at war with God. We're fighting with God. Every unbeliever is fighting with God because the unbeliever had bought into Satan's hokey-doke, hook, line, and sinker. And some of you have never heard that word, I know. But you bought into Satan's lie, hook, line, and sinker, when he said to Eve, Garden of Eden, hath God indeed said. Verse 17 says, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Christ came and he preached to the Gentiles who were far off and to the Jews who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, I want you to understand the cornerstone. And that's why the chalkboard is out here. The first thing I want to do is to explain to you that in ancient times, buildings were a little bit different from buildings today in modern time. So I want to show you first what a foundation looks like for a building like this. You have the ground level here. And in order to build a building, you have to dig down 3 feet. And after you dig down 3 feet, you lay what is called a footing. It looks something like this. The people are going to do listen to the sermon because you can't see this. But this would be a footing. Well, this for a building like the building. Now, on the footing, you have stones laid, so forth. The stones are laid on the footing, and they come up. And after all of the stones are laid on the footing, then you start the superstructure of the building. All of you have seen buildings being built like this, with the 2x4s and so forth. Now, this is what This is what a building looks like today. But in ancient times, the building was not built this way. Now, what Paul is talking about in the text that we have this morning is something like this. This would represent the size of the building. All of you can't see me over there. I had to move over here a little bit. This would be the size of the building. Now, when they got ready to build a building, they laid what is called a cornerstone. The cornerstone would be here. Now, the cornerstone had to have some exactness to it. Why exactness? Because the cornerstone oriented the building. Not only did it orient the building, every other stone in the foundation was laid to the cornerstone. So you have the cornerstone and you have all the rest of the stones laid to the cornerstone. The measure of the building laid is by the cornerstone. Now, what our text is telling us is that the apostles and the prophets make up the cornerstone of our faith. All of the stones are laid to Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. The church building, the temple of God, is laid to Jesus Christ. The apostles and the prophets make up the rest of the stones in the foundation, and in the old building, the foundation stones were what the superstructure was built on. Now, they didn't have the blocks like we have today, but they did have a foundation, and the foundation stone is what Paul is talking about in our text today. And this figure is used rather extensively throughout the Bible, talking about Jesus Christ being chief. Now, before I leave the floor here, let me explain this to you. We have a denomination today that teaches that we ought to be able to speak in tongues, and we ought to be able to heal, and we ought to be able to do all of that stuff. But now, beloved, in order to do that, you have to tear the building down and rip up the foundation, because Jesus Christ has laid a perfect foundation. And once the perfect foundation is laid, there is no reason to come back and bother with. But in addition to that, those of you who have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ are being built up on the apostles and prophets' writings in the Bible. Now, you can't ignore what the prophets wrote if you're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Now, there were some gifts given during the apostolic era and during the prophetic era that are not operative in the church today. One is the acquired unlearned languages. Another is the gift of healing, where the apostles had the gift of healing. They could heal people. In fact, when Paul was in Ephesus, he was able to heal people. Peter raised the dead and Paul raised the dead. That's not going on today. And the reason it isn't going on today is because the foundation is complete. The foundation is complete. And once it's complete, you don't need those things anymore. We have the whole Bible. Now, I hope this illustration here helps you understand a little better what the Bible is talking about when it says Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone. Now, if you are in Christ, you are being built up on Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, and the Bible says you are living stones in the temple of God. You are living stones. Now, all of the stones that are built on this foundation are living stones who have been indwelt by the Spirit of God, and you become a part of the temple of God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to share with you what the Bible says about the stone, how important it is. In Psalm 18, 22 and 23, we read that in our first scripture lesson this morning. The stone which the builders rejected had become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. In Isaiah 28:16, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone and precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Hallelujah. Whoever believes will not be hasty. Luke quotes the passage from Psalm 118, the stone which the builders rejected had become the chief cornerstone. Now, what Luke and the psalmist is saying is that the religious people reject the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is rejected by the religious people. Now, I'm making a distinction between religion and Christianity. Those who have committed their lives to Christ are Christians. And the Christian should know who the cornerstone is, and the Christian should be willing to work on their sanctification, because our sanctification adds to the household of God. Now, Peter says, coming to him as living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up. You're being sanctified. You're being brought closer and closer to Almighty God. And this is why you need to give careful attention to your spiritual growth, because you have been made a part of God's temple as living stones. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. The cornerstone is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble at the stone, being disobedient to the word, to which they were also appointed. Election. Hallelujah. Now, Getting to our text, I want to remind you again that Paul says, some of you folks at Ephesus are acting like you're dirt poor, but you're rich. And you need to start to expand on your riches. How do you expand on your riches? By growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are no longer strangers or foreigners. You are living stones being built on a solid foundation. You are the dwelling place of God. I want to help you understand a little better another passage of Scripture that I know that you're somewhat familiar with. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to share with you verses 24 and following. Now, this is the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus has laid down the greatest sermon ever preached. And here's how he concludes it. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. You see that? Hallelujah. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. Jesus Christ is the rock, the sure foundation. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be likened unto a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So it was, when Jesus had ended his sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He is the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Now, looking back at our text, in verse 19 of chapter 2, this is what it says. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. There's a difference between being an outcast and being a stranger or a foreigner. The big difference is the outcast has no inheritance. The stranger or the foreigner can possibly inherit. The outcast is cast out of the family. And everyone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is an outcast. Now, this doesn't mean that they can't ever be brought into the family, because God has ordained that we preach the gospel, and we preach the gospel in order to bring people who are outcasts into the family. The Jews call the Gentiles dirty foreskins. That's what that word uncircumcised really means. It's a put down. Now, they were depending on their physical lineage to Abraham. So what they were saying is that because we are Abraham's children and we have submitted ourselves to circumcision, which is a work, that we're okay with God. And Paul says that is a wall of partition that the Lord Jesus Christ has abolished. He's done away with that. Because all of you were foreigners and strangers to the commonwealth of Israel, because you were Abraham's seed don't mean a thing, because God is able to raise up children to Abraham from the stones laying on the ground. God has broken down the middle wall of partition, and all believers now are fellow citizens with the saints, and you don't need to be canonized to be a saint. When you read the Bible, you discover that the church in Corinth was kind of messed up. Even more messed up than some of the churches today. But Paul addressed them as saints. Now, what does it mean to be a saint? To be a saint, it means that one who is being made holy. And God is making us holy through the process of sanctification. And the process of sanctification moves along much better when you avail yourself of all of the ministries of the church, which is supposed to be geared to your sanctification. Now, Paul's letters address the members of the church that he wrote to as saints. The house of God is holy, and believers are members of the house of God. Therefore, you are not to do anything that causes defilement to your body, because you cannot believe until God the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. When God the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you, you become a living stone being built up on the cornerstone, the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. No one can possibly believe in Christ apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And this is why, beloved, when you witness in the street, you need to know that you're witnessing to a dead person if that person is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you witness to people, what you really need to do is to pray that God will give them the grace to believe. Now, you don't know what God is going to do with your witness. But if you are a living stone being built up in the household of God, you ought to want to add more stones to the house. And you add more stones to the house by witnessing to people in the world. How and why are we to grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ? Well, I just explained it to you. That's why. So that you can be used of God to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, there's some gifts listed. He made some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And why did he do that? For the building up of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's why he did it. So you ought to you should be in a process of growth, a process of being built up, so that you can be used of God in a mighty way to work on the building of this house. Now, God's house is not finished yet. God is still building his house. I don't care what Harold Camping says. God is still building his house. He's still building his house because people are being saved. And when people get saved, they need to be discipled. And when they are discipled, they start to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that the study of the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, is what you need to be into, because the foundation is on the apostles and prophets. I want to explain this word prophet to you. In the Old Testament, the prophets were those who represented God to the people, and consequently they got the message from God. In the New Testament, to prophesy means to set forth the word of God. What I'm trying to do this morning is to prophesy to you by explaining to you what the word of God means. When we look at verse 20 of our text, this is what it says. Ephesians 2, verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The foundation is laid. The foundation is perfect because it's been laid to the chief cornerstone. But everybody in the world who is not elect by God are trying to tear down the building and rip up the foundation. Now let me tell you how this happens. When Eve was being tempted in the garden, Satan said, "Hath God indeed said?" That has worked for Satan all the way down through the corridors of time. It's worked for him. And it's working for him even today. And I'm going to tell you how. When you look at the Roman Catholic Church, which is a huge organization, religious organization, that organization has bought into Satan's lie, "Hath God said?" Now, we don't need to pay any attention to what God says because the church has laid down some truth by tradition. Well, truth by tradition means that if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes truth. That's what they're saying. Hath God said? Hath God said it is finished in Jesus Christ? Yes, he has. But they say it's not finished yet. So we've got to say some more masses to make some more sacrifices. And when you die, you got to go to purgatory to work off some of your sins. It's a work salvation. God has said in his word that salvation is a free gift. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What about the Mormon church? Well, the Mormon church has a beautiful choir, known all over the world for their singing. But they believe in plagiarism, contrary to the word of God. They have added to the word of God the Book of Mormon. Hath God said? Now you have these people who come around selling the Watchtower. Same thing. Hath God said that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone? Hath God said that Jesus Christ is co-equal with the Father? Hath God said that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity? They deny all of that. Because they have tried to tear down the building and rip up the foundation. Now, you, beloved, are resting on a sure foundation that is absolutely complete. Hallelujah. The building is still under construction. The foundation has been perfectly laid to Jesus Christ. And once the foundation is laid, there's no need to mess with it any further. Absolutely no need. In order for us to change the foundation of this building, we've got to tear the building down and dig up the foundation if we want to change the foundation. But what is the reason for changing the foundation? There would be no reason to change the foundation if there's nothing wrong with the building. Even if the building burned down, we don't have to lay another foundation because the foundation is laid. And we can build another building on the foundation that's already there. So when we start to study the Bible and we come to understand that Jesus Christ laid a perfect foundation in the apostles and prophets, it's ludicrous to try to tear it up. Now, you, beloved, are the dwelling place of Almighty God, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God dwells in you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. At conversion, we become a part of God's building as living stones. Jesus Christ said in conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, which I read to you already, that he is the rock. He is the solid rock. And if you build your house on the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the winds can blow and the rain can come and the storms can come, you're still okay. Now, I'm not saying that you are not going to be adversely affected by the wind and the rain and the storm, because Jesus said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world because I am the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Now, the whole building grows into a temple in the Lord. And this metaphorical language should not be hard to understand when you really start to study the Bible. So, our instrument of growth is learning more and more about the chief cornerstone. Do you think you know all about the chief cornerstone? You haven't even started yet. We are being built up together. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ. The rest of the foundation is the work of the apostles and the prophets. And their work is contained in the Holy Bible. Now, beloved, I hope you understand that text a little bit better. The pastor of the Christian Reformed Church in Sacramento, California, wrote a book on the tongues issue using Ephesians 2:20 as the basis of his argument. And he argues, his argument is so tight in that book, I don't see anybody can still believe that God is giving the gift of speaking in unacquired languages. But why did God do that? God gave the apostolic church the gift of speaking in unacquired languages so that they could communicate with people who were different from themselves in language that they could understand. Why did God give the apostolic church the gifts of healing and raising the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees and the scribes, believe me. And if you don't believe me, look at the works that I'm doing. You got to believe the works. There's a man by the pool at Bethsaida who was there for 38 years. I came along and said to the man, get up and take up your bed and go home. And you said to the man, you're committing a sin by carrying your bed on the Sabbath. The works that you read of in the Bible were always to authenticate the message of the messenger. The messenger gave a message. The works that they did authenticated the message. And that's why you had those gifts during the apostolic era. But the apostolic era is past. We have the completed, inscripturated Word of God. This is what we need to appeal to today. We need to appeal to the Word of God. And what we have tried to do in this church is to emphasize the preaching and teaching of God's Word to your spiritual growth. May you all grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for the ministry of Paul to the Ephesian church. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be fully realize that we are being built up as living stones in your household. And as living stones, we don't want to do anything that would bring despite, to your house. Help us by your grace to do this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.